Hey, the It's Time for Coffee podcast is powered by the Converge Podcast Network. Hey friends, it's time for coffee, and I'm your friend and host, Jeanette. I'm so glad that you're here today. I hope you know by just pressing play on that podcast app, you have a friend with you. My hope is that as you listen, you will know that you are heard, valued, loved, and not alone, no matter what stage of life you're in. I hope that you're subscribed so you never miss an episode, and it would mean the world to me if you left a rating or review. I'm so glad you're here, and I cannot wait to introduce you to this week's guest. Hey y'all, welcome back to our series, Coming Soon, where we are highlighting some great books coming out next month. These books will make for an amazing start to your January TBR, or To Be Read Pile. Last week we had Daryl Strawberry, and let me tell you, I had no clue how many of you sweet friends were such fans of his. I cannot tell you how many of y'all reached out to me and told me how much you already admired him and were already fans of his. And then hearing his story of faith, how that encouraged you and made you even greater fans of Mr. Strawberry. If you haven't already listened to that episode, add it to your queue and get ready for an incredible story from a man who loves Jesus so much. This week we have my friend Hannah Brencher, and you guys, as I'm recording this, I'm actually sitting in the back of our camper. We have been out camping this week, relaxing and enjoying some family time, and I've been devouring Hannah's new book, Fighting Forward. This is the book that you need to kick off 2021 with. You can get a signed copy now on Hannah's website, or head to the link in the description of this show and pre-order it on Amazon. This book is going to change the way we look at struggles. This book is going to encourage us to start and fight forward. I cannot wait for you to hear Hannah talk about it, and even more, I cannot wait for you to read this book. Fighting Forward is our fight song. So friend, grab your cup, fill it up with whatever you want, and let's dive in. Hey y'all, I'm so excited to be sitting down with my new friend, and I follow her online, which you guys should too, but Hannah Brencher, who is the author of Fighting Forward, Your Nitty-Gritty Guide to Beating the Lies That Hold You Back. This is a book that comes out, Hannah, when does it come out? Like early January or like
January
last?
January 5th.
Okay, the best book we need for 2020, am I right? Like this is, or 2021, we have to put 2020 away and start 2021 with this book.
Yeah, with a fight song, yes.
Oh, with a fight song. I love that song, like the fight song. Like
that's where it originally came from in a roundabout way. Before it got like so popular that it was the most popular thing ever, I remember a reader of mine sent me an email, and I had not vocalized anything of what I was going through at the time, that I was very depressed, that I was fighting through a lot. And she sent me an email and was like, I just feel like I'm supposed to send you this song. And I'd never heard it before. And I was like, I need this to be my anthem. And so that's kind of the inspiration.
Oh, I love that. Oh, that's so good. Well, I'm excited to get my hands on it because I know it's going to be so good. And by the time we're listening to this, I will have read it, devoured it, underlined every like word in it, I'm sure. So I'm so excited.
I love that.
But Hannah Brencher, welcome to It's Time for Coffee. How are you today?
I'm good. I'm doing great. I can't really complain. It's been a great day.
It has been. And it's like, where are you at in the U.S.?
I'm in Atlanta, Georgia.
Okay, so it's like crisp there, I'm guessing?
Finally, yes. Good. Finally getting to be crisp and feel like fall, and like, I feel like any day is a great day if I feel I can wear a sweatshirt, you know?
Yes. So yes. Yeah, agreed. I'm in like jeans and a t-shirt, and I'm like, ooh, I'm a little chilly. Like,
oh, that's the best. That's the best.
So good. Hannah, before we jump in, what is in your cup?
Okay, so my cup is water right now. That's a bummer. I should have brewed coffee right before this, but yeah, it's water.
That's good.
Pretend
we'll take
it's something else.
We'll pretend it's something fancy. But you have been like on the circuit. Like you are doing back to back. So it might have been hard for you to go brew coffee. Like I'm going to give you so much grace in this moment.
Yeah, it's been a lot of wonderful interviews. I'm thankful for that. But yeah, decaf coffee has been my go-to recently. That was like a new discovery for me. I don't know why I never thought you should just brew some decaf and you can drink it after 2 p.m. because to me, it's not about the caffeine. It's more so like something warm. Yeah. It gives me comfort, you know?
Yeah. I say like, in the sound, this is totally like the most random things I've ever said, but coffee is like, you know, like babies have their like lovies.
Oh, totally. Yep. Yes. My daughter has her little lammy, and it's like, that's how I feel when coffee is right in front of me. Yeah. So
coffee is my lovey. When you're out and about, what kind of coffee do you order?
So I'm a big Starbucks fan. Okay. And we have a lot of local coffee shops here in Atlanta. So I'm sure people are like, oh, but you could be going local. But if I'm getting like local coffee, I just do it straight black. And that's because I think it's really cool to be able to taste all of the different ways that the coffee is roasted. If I'm going to Starbucks, though, which is my go-to, I'm getting a grande iced latte with peppermint and cold foam.
Ooh.
Oh, it's amazing. It's divine. It's my holiday go-to.
That's a good one. That's really good. I want to figure out how to do the cold foam. I need to learn.
It looks like they just put the milk in the blender and froth it up. Like, I think that's all it is. Gosh. I watched somebody the other day. That's all he did.
Yeah. That's interesting. We got to figure that out. Because I do, like, there's something about, like, that foamy top.
Oh, especially if it's, like, the sweet foam. Mm-hmm. I'm like, it's amazing.
Yeah, agreed. Well, that sounds delicious. And McDonald's. Starbucks is just reliable. Like, that's why I like Starbucks, is because I know that no matter where I go, wherever I'm at, I mean, it's not like I'm traveling.
It's always
going to
be there for you. Yes, it's always going to be there for you.
And consistent. It's like getting McDonald's. Like, we always say it's the McDonald's of coffee. Because it's the same everywhere.
Absolutely. And I think it's like, you know, I love Starbucks branding. Mm-hmm. I love that, like, it's always reliable in the sense that this time of year, there's going to be a red cup for me waiting somewhere, you know, like, and I just feel like with the year that it's been, we all just need that. We all need it.
So true. Hannah, I would love to hear about your story and, like, kind of, like you said, your readers and people around you, or like internet world around you, didn't know what you were walking through. With your anxiety and depression. So I'd love to hear, like, you tell just a little bit about your story that led to your book, Fighting Forward.
Yeah. So I am somebody who deals with depression. I am very careful to say, like, I deal with it. I don't struggle with it. Mm-hmm. Like, depression does not have a hold on me or ownership over me. I deal with it. Years ago, though, I probably wouldn't have said that was the case. I definitely was struggling. I had dealt with depression once before, and I really thought, like, if you've gone through depression once, like, you don't go through it again. I had no clue that, like, there is a high likelihood that you will go through it again. And so at the time that I was diagnosed with severe depression in 2014, which was kind of the foundation for this book, I would say everything looked really good on the outside. If you saw me on Instagram, you would never guess that I was struggling or that I was heading for a major roadblock. And internally, I think I was hustling for a lot of my worth. I was constantly feeling like I needed to keep up, that maybe I was racing against all these other people and I had to stay relevant and I had to do the next best thing. And I really placed it on my shoulders to hold everything together. And on top of that, decided it would be a really good idea to pack up my life and move to a new city that I didn't really know anybody in. And so I was doing all of this at the same time. And it just was like the perfect circumstances for a train crash. I just really hit the wall, and I just could tell you the day that it happened. I could tell you where I was. I could tell you that this pain came over my entire body. And from that point forward, like, my brain was not my own anymore. I was constantly paranoid. I was drowning in lies, and I had to find a way to fight forward in that. I had to find a way to piece my life back together. And there were many moments where I thought, like, oh, like, I don't know that I'm coming out of this. Like, I don't know if I will ever have my life back, if I will ever be able to do the things that I once enjoyed. And it was for sure the darkest, darkest pit of my life. But I think sometimes out of those really dark places is where God shows up and where, like, the most beautiful things come forth. And so I would say, like, Fighting Forward came out of that place. I had this moment on Christmas Eve of that year where I kind of looked around and I realized, like, I don't like the way that I'm fighting. Like, I don't like that I could encourage everybody else in the world, but I can't encourage myself. And so I went down to the convenience store. I bought a notebook And I wrote fight song on the side of the notebook. And I just started filling it with words for what I imagined would be like my one day daughter, because I couldn't really write the words for myself at the time. It wasn't like, hey, self, do this, you know, like, but I tried to dig deep to say, okay, like if I have a daughter one day, chances are she will be in this spot at some point. It might not look this way, but like we all go through our like rock bottom moments. And what would I want to tell her? And I just started pouring my heart out from there. And that has become the basis of the fight songs.
That's beautiful. And I think that there is that moment where it's like, we can't fight for ourselves all the time. Like there's something within us that maybe blocks it, or there's fear of that blocks it, or I don't know what it is, but it's one of those things where it's hard. It's hard to be like, just pick yourself up and go, because that's not necessarily going to work either. But it's different when we say, okay, what could I tell my friend? And I mean, we do that to ourselves, right? As far as like how we treat ourselves in our body when we look in the mirror, to everything. Like I always think, like, I would never tell my friend, like, oh man, your face is looking full today. Like, I would never say that. Like,
no. And I think too, if you frame it that way of like, what would I tell a friend? Like, I think a lot of fluff goes out of the window. Like, especially if you are somebody who has dealt with a battle like mental health, like I now, if somebody's going to ask me, I am going to give them practical things. Like I'm going to give them things to do, because me telling you you're beautiful or you're enough, you know, at some point we've heard those words so much that they become watered down to us.
Yeah. Well, and they're just, I mean, and I don't mean this in the sense of like, it's just filler words, but they are just filler words. Like, it's okay. So then what do I do? Like, okay, I'm enough, but then what? Like, I still feel like crap. Like, I still feel sad. I still feel this, like you said, this like darkness overcoming me. Like, I'm enough, but I'm enough for what? Like, then what? So what are your, like, when someone says like, I'm just stuck, like I'm stuck in the mud. I recently had this like analogy kind of like, I guess maybe God showed it to me, or I just like, I don't know. I don't want to say like, God spoke to me, because it just felt, you know, like you just see it and you're like, oh yeah, that's cool.
The vision.
Yes. And so I envisioned it and I was like, oh, when I'm sick, I'm the husband in the family. So when I'm sick, I'm like, oh, my life will never be the same. I'm gone forever. But I feel like anxiety and depression kind of take us like this. Like, I'll never feel the same again. This is just how I'm going to live. This is just how it's going to be from now on. This is it. This is the thorn in my side, the plank in my, like, this is just how it is going to be. Like, I get very dramatic when I'm sick. Like, this is just how it's going to be. And then all of a sudden we come out the other side and we're like, oh, well, I guess I'm better now. But instead of taking the stock and like, one day at a time, one step at a time, like God delivered me from my sickness, or one step at a time, one movement at a time, God delivered. It doesn't mean it's gone forever. It doesn't mean that we won't deal with it in the future, but God was gracious in those days that we were healed and we're like, oh, I'm better. I don't feel this way anymore. So it was one of those things where it's like, when you come out and you see the other side, be thankful. Like, oh my gosh, be so thankful. Be a light on the other side for other people, which is what you're doing. But what are some tips and tricks that we can do when we're stuck in that bed saying like, I'm never going to be the same again? What are some things that we can do? Like the practical things that you were saying?
Yeah. I mean, I think there's so many, and they apply to people at all different walks of life. I always say, like, you know, if you are dealing with depression, the best advice that I ever received was like to do the opposite of whatever the depression is telling you to do. If the depression is telling you to stay in bed, get up. If the depression is telling you to not get dressed, get dressed. If it's telling you to isolate, go make plans with a friend. Yeah. You know, I think that like I learned in that time, like you said, it's those small things on repeat. So maybe you're not going to seize the day. Maybe today is not going to be the day where like you just like hustle hard and like make it. But like, I think what's important to remember is that all of the things add up. Like the victory for today might just be that you put pants on. Yeah. And as I was, you know, writing Fighting Forward, there was this moment that I had where I feel like I'm perpetually in a state of like trying to become a runner. And I'm in that state right now. I'm 8 runs in and I will not give up this time. But
you got it. 8 runs. That's amazing. Like that's over a week. You stick.
I stuck with it.
You did.
Yep.
2 weeks. Good job.
I'm 2 weeks into being a runner. And so during another phase where I thought I was going to be a runner, I listened to this like Nike run app where mm-hmm. they do like guided runs and they talk to you. And there was this one run that I was on where the trainer was talking to me and he talked about endurance, which we hear about all the time, but he actually broke down like the definition of what endurance actually meant. And endurance simply means to remain in existence. And yeah. I had no idea that's what it meant. I thought like, we think about endurance and we're like, that means we rule the day. That means like we do all the things. And really it means to remain in existence. And I think, well, I can handle that. I can remain in existence, you know, and that might just be the small things like brewing the cup of coffee or taking the time to have quiet time when your mind is a mess, or picking the small things that feel sure to you on a day that feels really rocky and unsure. And like, that's enduring. Mm-hmm. That is exactly what that is. You are continuing to remain in existence. And so I think it's really easy to belittle and bully ourselves when we're in these pits, but all of that small stuff stacks up. And I remember I had a friend who, during my pit, she asked me to write down everything that I had done in a single day throughout the day. Like she just keep a running list. And that was so powerful. And I continue to do it to this day. Not everything. Right. Like at that point I was like, brush my hair. Like,
right.
But for me to look at it and say, okay, well, when the enemy is trying to tell me I am worthless, I've done nothing, I can look at this list and be like, all of the small steps are stacking up. So if you're in that place where you're like, I don't know how to move forward, just pick something that's going to take 5 minutes to do and do that thing and write it down and then pick another thing.
Yeah.
You're listening to the Converge Podcast Network. And now a message from a network supporter.
Hey, today's episode is sponsored by our friends at Faithful Counseling. So let's get real for a second. Is there something interfering with your happiness or preventing you from achieving your goals? I know for many of us that can be anxiety, depression, fear, or even broken relationships. These are all things that can be holding us back. But this is where Faithful Counseling comes in. Faithful Counseling is a worldwide counseling service that is making professional counseling accessible, affordable, and convenient so anyone and everyone can face life's challenges and get help anytime, anywhere. Faithful Counseling offers four different ways that you can connect with a licensed counselor. You can sit down for video calls, phone calls, live chats, or instant messaging. Every counselor on Faithful Counseling is licensed by their respective state board and has over 3,000 hours of experience. If you think Faithful Counseling is for you, you can sign up today and be matched with your counselor in 24 hours or less. Faithful Counseling is helping us live our healthiest lives in the comfort and safety of our own homes. Be sure to check out Faithful Counseling at faithfulcounseling.com/JeanetteTapley. And now back to today's show. I am from Alaska, and so I was born and raised. And one snowflake doesn't make a difference, but when it snows for over an hour, like all of those snowflakes mm-hmm. combined
yes. I love that
matter.
Picture.
So I love that. And I think that that is something, like there's times where like my Enneagram 9 goes to that 3 in health, which I appreciate. And I'm like, ooh, look what I did on my list today. I already did that, so mm-hmm. I'm going to check it off. And so it's, you know, like, I'm going to write this down so I can check it off. So those things matter.
I do that all the time.
It's like, it's a healthy thing. Check it off. I love that your friend told you that. Like, I love that she was like, hey, this is going to add up and this is going to help you see that you are doing more than what you think you are, more than what you think you're capable of. What are some other ways that our friends can show up for their friends who are in the pit? I think sometimes there's a beautiful like illustration that Brené Brown posted a long time ago of like people down in a pit. And it's like, just get out. It's like, really, if you like just join me down here, like that would be helpful. Yeah. Like instead of just like demanding me to get out of this pit. So I really think that there's power in joining people there. So mm-hmm. what are some ways that we can join our people?
I think that like, you know, physically showing up when you can, which I know has been hard within a COVID right. world. And sometimes, you know, people are, we still have to like show up and go to work and like can't stay home all day, you know? And so I think what's the most powerful thing to me was that people were constantly committing me to memory and letting me know that. So whether it was they sent a prayer to encourage me, or, you know, in daily life, when somebody sends a coffee to me or a Venmo, you know, it's like, oh, you're thinking of me and you're reminding me to like keep showing up. And there are so many ways that we can bless our friends in that. I think when it comes down to like the nitty gritty of what we can practically do, I think the biggest thing is that we don't should on people. We don't say like, oh, well, you should do this and you should do this and you'd feel better if you did this, because every person's experience with mental health or going through a hard time is going to be different. And so I just need you to show up and sit with me and listen and know. And I think the best friends know this. They know when it's time to insert themselves and say, hey, you need to go and you need to do this. If you just want to come into the situation and like make it all pretty and tidy, like immediately, like that's usually what people don't need. You know, people just need to be able to like deal with it. And so being that friend that doesn't come in to problem solve, but like you just show up to sit with somebody in that mess and be a cheerleader for that person, it means the world to people.
Yeah, man, I think that's so true. And I think it's so good. Just like, I think we say that like, oh, just show up. And it's so hard because it is, we think it's easier to shit on people. Oh, well, you should try this. You should try this. Like, why don't you do this? And it's been a really intentional thing to like take should out of our dictionaries.
Vocabularies.
Like, what's the right word?
And dictionaries.
Yeah, we don't even have it. So it's just been one of those things where it's like, to take that out is a huge thing. And I think it will go a long way. And I know that I'm like, well, you should try this. And it's like, well, no. Have you thought about this? Is a better way to say that. Or can I help you?
Like, when you know somebody, like if you see, I've learned this over time, because like if you see somebody going through something tough, whether that's like infertility, or that's depression, or that's the loss of a baby. Like, I can't come into that situation and say, hey, here's what worked for me. I'd rather have the door be open for them to say, hey, like, what worked for you? I'm looking and seeking that advice, rather than me coming in, because I know I've gotten that from people. And I just want to be like, I didn't ask for what you wanted me to do or what worked for you. That's wonderful. But like, really just empathy in that moment.
Yeah. Yeah. We talk about that a lot just in marriage. Like, I'm going to tell you something because I need to vent it and get it off my chest. I don't want you to fix it. Yeah. I just need you to hear me, understand me, empathize with me. And then once I get it off my chest, then I might ask you to help me fix it. But just listen first. My husband's like rocking in the corner, like just trying to fix it for me. Like, just wait a minute. What were some of the lies that your fear told you?
So many lies.
And I told you before,
this is
like,
what I've learned.
I tend to be a fearful person. So I'm like, I told you when we started, like, man, fear tends to rule so often. So even like the fear of like, fear of man is a huge one for me, where I'm like, I don't want to be disliked, which is great, because I'm in a great career for that, like fear of man. So
I think the lies took on so many shapes and forms. It was the lie of not being enough, not being polished enough, not looking like other people, not being popular enough. It's like when one lie, you deal with one lie, another one is going to pop up. And I think what I learned in the midst of all of this was, you can fight defense as long as you want. When a new lie shows up, you can start to deal with it. But like, it's way more powerful to fight offense, you know, to say, instead of waiting for this next lie to show up, like, I'm going to start speaking truth over myself. I'm going to start speaking things over myself that maybe I don't even believe about myself, but like, this would be much more beneficial for my psyche than to just believe all of these lies that the inner critic is rattling off to me, because there's so many. And I think anytime that you just allow a thought to come in and you assign meaning to it, it is another seed planted. Yeah. And I think the lies can start off really, really small, you know, and then all of a sudden you look up and you're like, it's a tsunami. Like, it is like a huge, massive lie that is going to take much more than a day, than a week, than a month to debunk and to rewire in your brain. I think that's what it says in the Bible. Like, take every thought captive.
Yeah.
Because it literally is every thought. You're either going to assign meaning to that thought, or you're going to say, okay, well, that's just a thought. It doesn't mean it's true about me.
Yeah. Just thinking about like the seeds and stuff makes me think, did you grow up watching VeggieTales?
I didn't, no.
Oh, okay. So there's one. Let me explain VeggieTales to you.
I see it now though.
Yes.
Like on the like Netflix.
Yeah, it's back.
It was like a Bible study thing,
right?
Though, right?
All, yes. Okay. And like little vegetables, all of that. So there's one called the rumor weed where Junior Asparagus tells a lie.
Oh my God.
And the, oh no, that's, now I might be getting confused with the fib from outer space.
The what?
The fib from outer space. Anyways, the rumor weed is one where a rumor is passed around, and underneath mm-hmm. the city, this giant plant keeps popping up in everybody's things, and it's kind of like whispering. It's like telephone, except like the mm-hmm. rumor weed is yeah. listening. So Larry Boy, the superhero of VeggieTales, has to go in and kind of pull it out. But it's like this, like it's like when you're pulling weeds from your garden. Like
yep.
there's always a mother root that you have to pull out. Mm-hmm. And I think that when we can hear lies about us, like outward, and be like, oh, that's a lie. But that seed takes root in our heart and
root.
In our mind. And we have to take it captive because we have to get it out. Otherwise, that little weed, that little seed will take root and be a mother weed that's like so much harder to pull out. And then with it comes all the dirt and grossness that kind of like floats around that you're like, wait, who even am I? Like,
yeah.
what do I believe about myself? And I think when you said like, you were writing down like biblical truth about what God says about you and how he cares for you and how he loves you. And it's something that I never, probably until this year, did I really struggle with, just because I was raised in the church and I was like, oh yeah, God loves me, I'm good. But until it was like, oh man, fear is no longer like, I can, well, this year's been very, very different, but like, I can handle the world around me, like that's fine. But what lies I'm believing within me is what has shook me the most this year.
Well, but and it's like what you said, like, I feel like that's why there's so many gardening metaphors in the Bible, because mm-hmm. like, there's so much to be learned in that process. But like, when you don't, like, I remember when I planted my first garden and I didn't know that you had to weed the garden. So
yeah.
like all these little plants started sprouting up and I just thought I was like an awesome gardener.
Yeah.
Like, whoa, I got all these plants, you
know? Look at this. Yeah.
And my neighbor was like, yeah, no, you have to weed the garden. But like what I didn't know is that like, if you don't weed the garden, like basically what's happening is those weeds are sucking all of the life away from the other plants so that mm-hmm. they don't have a chance to grow. And like, you see that in your own personal life
yeah.
when you're believing these lies, is like, maybe the rest of the world is not impacted by it, but your life suffers and how you show up in the world suffers. You can't think that one lie over here in your business is not going to permeate into all these other areas of your life if you don't start dealing with it, pulling mm-hmm. the weeds, meeting with God, bringing it out into the light over and over and over again. It might take 60 times, 70 times. It might be a lifetime of that. But if that is going to be what's going to draw you closer to God, that will just keep happening, right?
Yeah.
Like, God is like, sweet, awesome. Like, obviously he never wants for us to suffer. But if that is the thorn in my side that is going to draw me to him, to get my identity from him, rather than just trying to combat the lie myself with positive self-talk, like, it's just never worked for me. Like,
yeah.
standing in front of the mirror and just being like, you are enough, has never worked for me. Like, I need
yeah.
something. I need, like, a heavy-duty weed whacker.
Yeah, for sure. And we have rose bushes out in front, and we have morning glories that grow around them.
Mm-hmm.
And my mother-in-law, same thing. Hey, you have to pull those morning glories. Those are actually a weed. I'm like, oh, but they're so pretty.
They're so pretty, right?
And sometimes
yeah.
we like the lies that we believe, and those things
yeah.
are going to stuff it. They're going to kill my roses.
Yeah, it's so, yeah, it's crazy.
So crazy. I love that. And you're right. Like, one of the best truths that I speak over myself, it's like the only one that, like, not the only one, but it's like the one that I can look at myself in the mirror and be like, okay, this makes me feel like, I feel mm-hmm. bolder. It's like, the
yeah.
Lord delights in you. Like,
ooh,
if I tell
yeah.
myself that, I'm like, the Lord delights in you. Like, he really likes you. I'm like, okay, as long as the Lord likes me, like, that's really, like, yes. That's the best.
That's it. That's all I need.
He just likes me. And not even, like, oh, he just likes you, but, like, he has great delight in you. I'm like, oh, what a father. Like, what a sweet father to, like, delight in his daughters. So, if you need to hear that today, the Lord delights in you.
I love that.
Okay. I know that we could go on and on, but I want to know, like, after writing this book and kind of seeing it finished and just kind of like your fight song is kind of out there, what is your hope for now? And then what, so twofold, what did, like, I call the writing experience keyboard therapy, because we like live it and we pour it out and God like wrecks us all over again as we write, which is so fun. So what is your hope for, and then what did God teach you during the writing process?
So many things. I feel like I'm always learning whenever I'm in the trenches of writing. I'm one of those people that, like, I love the writing process so much more than I love the releasing of a book, it being out in the world. I just want to be off in my office alone writing, because honestly, that's when I feel the closest to God, you know? Yeah. And what was really crazy about this writing process was that in writing this book, we knew we were going to, at some point in all of this, like, try to have kids. And I didn't know what that was going to look like. I didn't know if I brought anything to the table of motherhood, you know? Like, I just always felt like I didn't really fit the mold for being a mom. And was that okay? And I kept having to dig deeper with this book and ask myself the question, like, what would you tell your daughter? Like, what would you tell your daughter? And that allowed me to, I feel like, go deeper than if I'm just talking to you and I know you on the internet, you know?
Right.
It's like, what would I tell somebody who is like my flesh, my DNA, you know? And it's so crazy because the day that we finished the book, I remember my mom was like, you need to go, you need to celebrate, like, go out to dinner, enjoy yourself. Because she knew me, she knows that I'm one of those people where it's like, on to the next thing, you know?
Right.
And I had Amazon primed a pregnancy test because I was like, well, you know, I don't know. I'm not sure, but like something's off. And we got home from date night and the pregnancy test was on the front porch. And we took the test and I found out I was pregnant the same day that I handed in the book. And I just knew in that moment, I was like, okay, God, I have a high likelihood that this is going to be a daughter just because of what the process we just went through. And sure enough, it was a little girl. And so I feel like I learned a lot about motherhood and what I bring to the table, and that, you know what, like, I might not ever fit the mold, but like at the same time, like, I know the truth I can give her. I know where I can point her, and I'm going to bring my own unique flair, you know? And so my hope for people that read this book is just that they would, really the hope is that you would put the book down and you would go out into the world and you would actually live your life. And you would realize, like, life is not a spectator sport. We are very much treating it like it is in 2020, 2021, where we can just watch everybody else live their best lives and we can live vicariously through them. But like, in reality, like, you need to, like, get off the phone and you need to go be present in your own life. And that doesn't mean, like, you're the one creating all the content. Like, it's not about documentation. It's about fully showing up to this life you've been given. And so that would be my hope, is that people would just shut off and they would go and do.
Yeah, man. I love that, because we are definitely, like, we're living behind screens 100% this year and for ever, who knows how long, but we're not active participants anymore. That's sad.
It's so sad.
It's enough.
We think it's enough to just watch other people, and it's like, what?
I know. And there's that toss of the coin where it's like, you're either excited watching this person going and living their life and doing really cool things, or you're like bitter about it. But either way, you're not doing anything to change your circumstances or your
Well, and I think everything, like, I talk about that a lot in my book of, like, I think the only way, like, for us to not feel, because we've all probably felt it, bitterness of like seeing somebody and being like, well, I want that, or I want my life to look like that, or why did she get that and I didn't get that? The only antidote that I found for that is just cheering people on, learning to cheer people on. that doesn't necessarily mean that's going to be your, like your first feeling, like your natural posture, but keep showing up and doing it anyway, because that will be the only way that you start to see that, like, there is more to go around. Like, you've not been forgotten in this, but like bitterness will kill off other things.
Yeah. And it's taking that thought captive from the get-go. Why don't I feel excited about that person? Why can't I cheer them on in this moment? Okay, cool. Now I'm going to take that, flip it and reverse it and say, like, okay, now, like, I'm going to cheer you on in this specific spot because this is what hurt me. And maybe you need this cheered on. Like, maybe, maybe there's a reason. Like maybe you need this from me. Like, it's just, it's a really unique dynamic.
Yeah. Amen, girl.
Thanks. Yeah. Okay. Because it's time for coffee right now, and we believe that there's a season for everything under the sun, as said in Ecclesiastes, what is it time for in your life right now?
You know, I actually was just doing a writing piece with Ecclesiastes 3. So that was so funny when I saw that question was coming through. And there is this part in there where it says there is a time to speak and a time to keep silence. Mm-hmm. And I'd never noticed it before. I thought it was like to be silent, but like the word says to keep silence. And when you break that word down in the Hebrew, like it actually means like to be still and to hold peace. And so that's kind of what's been in my heart as like this season of just holding peace. You know, I think that like these seasons won't last forever. We're in one of those seasons right now where things do feel peaceful and they feel like we could just really feel the presence of God on us. But like, we don't know when that's going to shift and we're going to be thrust into a new season to learn new things. So for right now, like I'm in that season, I'm soaking up and savoring that season.
And I think we have to have those seasons. I mean, I've talked about like so many weird little stories, but we have to have that season because we have to store up for what's coming. Like I was thinking of like the ants, you have to store up for winter. You have to store up for summer, all of these things. Like you have to be in preparation for the season to come because whatever's to come, it doesn't look the same as now. And there has to be, like you said, like if there's a time to keep peace, that means that there's probably a time to speak up. And so you have to gather all of that peace and courage to then go forth.
Amen. Yeah, that's so true. I didn't even think of it that way.
Hannah, this has been so much fun. Like I said, I cannot wait to get your book because I know that no matter what we're going through, there's always a season to fight through something because there's a very rarely are we like in a perfect season in every area of our life, right? Yeah. Like where it's peaceful in one area, it might be tumultuous in the other. Like it's never across the board perfect. So there's always a reason to fight forward. And I just feel like if you're struggling to fight forward, like you said, it's when you should do the opposite. Like, If you're like, I don't want to fight. I just want to stay still. I kind of want to hunch back. It's like, no, sister, like push forward, like stand up, do that next thing. Really push into fighting the good fight because we believe that you are here for a purpose and we believe that there is light at the end of the tunnel.
Yeah.
Hannah, thanks for hanging out with me today.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me for coffee time.
Okay. Are you ready to fight forward now? Are you ready to make tiny steps every day toward the goal that Christ has for you? Remember, you can pre-order your copy of Fighting Forward in the description below or head to @HannahBruncher on Instagram and buy your signed copy now. Guys, you want to read this book as soon as you can. I'll talk to you later. Thanks so much for joining me for coffee today. I hope that we're already friends on social media, but if we aren't, come find me on Instagram at Jeanette Tapley or on Facebook at The Jeanette Tapley. If you have any questions about the show or what's coming up, be sure to check out itstimeforcoffeepod.com. I hope you have a great week and I can't wait to see you back here next week when it'll be time for coffee. Bye, friend.
This show is part of the Converge Podcast Network.